That's something that's just for youth on Wednesday nights. If you want to know what that's all about, maybe you should come. Just saying. All right. So, like Pastor just said, my name is JJ Vavra. I'm the youth director here at Logos, and it's a huge privilege to be up here today. And don't worry, that you did come on the right day. This is a Sunday morning, not a Wednesday night. I'm not going to have y'all eat like sardines on crackers and stuff like that. It's fun, silly games. But I am excited to be here today to give the message, and a bit fearful as well. I mean, I understand how the responsibility of bringing the word to the church body. And it is a bit different being up here compared to down there. We usually have like a cool semicircle. We play weird games and sing awesome worship and eat together and go in small groups and preach. And so it is different being right here in front of our entire church body. So I am excited to be here to bring this message in. This message does hit home to me. Seeing as we've all kind of been together, I mean, we're just getting through the holidays. Some of you may have been gone away to go see family. Some of you, family has come to you, or friends, long-lost friends you haven't seen in a while, and all of a sudden they're staying at your house, and 6 days later you're like, I love you over there. We have that family togetherness, and sometimes that conflict sets in, right? That sin takes over, and we're human, and today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about reconciliation. And I hope you're ready. Because this is something that I'm always having to battle with. And I'm so thankful for our church always pointing us back to the Word. Back to the Bible. The Word from our Creator. And the more I study the Bible, the more I can see how God has laid out all of these different scenarios that are relevant to today. But it always keeps pointing back to Him and His love for us and how we are to mirror that to others. So go ahead and open up your Bibles, because I know all of you brought them. All right? Or you can swipe, whatever you like. We're going to Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. And while you're opening up those Bibles, I want to talk about just a little bit what happened right before. And so right in verse 20, Jesus is talking to His disciples at the moment. And He gives them a challenge. And He says, Jesus says to His disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah. Think about that for a second. I'm sure the disciples' ears kind of perked up a little bit. Now, at the time, the Pharisees, they were the religious leaders at the time. They were religious leaders in Israel. They followed their interpretation of the law, and they made sure that everybody else tried to follow it the way they interpreted it. And by Jesus saying that you have to exceed those people's righteousness, that was big. And later on, this is the beauty of Jesus teaching His disciples. He's saying, hey, you have to be above that. Now let me show you exactly how to do that. It wasn't just a warning. It was a teaching. And He's showing His kingdom principles of righteousness, of harmony, which actually kind of contrasted the law that the way the scribes and the Pharisees were teaching it at the time. So they were interpreting it a little incorrectly. It was almost there, but they were close. And so Jesus explains exactly the law as God actually intended them. And the first principle that He's going into is talking about anger. So let's go ahead and read our verses for today in Matthew 5, 21 through 24, where Jesus is talking about anger. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Thank you, Lord, for your word. So before we go deeper into our passage for today, I want to make sure that we understand a couple points here. And the first one, this passage is being read by Jesus himself. And He addresses the people as Adelphos, which means brothers, and by implication, sisters in Christ. So He's talking to the disciples about fellow believers in Christ. And this passage also contains or commands us and says to go. Go to another person where a case of where you may have offended somebody. Go now. And I wanted to go a bit nerdy on y'all, so I apologize. Let's get nerdy. So this is actually written in second person singular, which means the person individually needs to go, not you go plural. We're not bringing like a gaggle of friends with us to go solve this conflict. It's you go now individually. And so I want to break this down now. Let's look at verse 21 specifically. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. And God says, or Jesus says in relation to murder, you have heard it was said to those of old. And I just want to stop for a second because I've noticed like, you can easily just read over a passage sometimes. And this happens to me. I'll read a passage and go, man, that was good. Let me just continue reading now. And now we get to something like this and I'm going, man, there's a lot of meat in here. And I want to make sure that I understand this properly before I start applying it to my life. And before I try to apply it to help other people as well. And so when I see something like this, like you have heard it was said to those of old, Jesus is telling his disciples, hey, I'm talking about the Pharisees and how they were interpreting the law at the time. These religious leaders, and Jesus wanted to help the disciples understand the true nature of God's law, which is to follow it to holiness and not just to follow the laws to look extra righteous, which is what the Pharisees were doing at the time. So Jesus would actually later denounce these scribes and Pharisees later on in verse 23 for their overemphasis of following the law above anything else. And they were totally ignoring the neglect and the true meaning of the law at the time. Look what he says in chapter 23, verse 25 through 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee. First clean the inside of your cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanliness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Those are harsh, harsh words coming from Jesus talking about just following the law as it is to make your outside look pleasant and not concentrating at all, which is within the heart, which is what Jesus was referring to. So now back in 21, chapter 5, 21, specifically talking about murder, I mean, if you read this, you're thinking, okay, you have heard that it was said to those of old. We know that he's talking about the scribes and Pharisees and their interpretation of it. You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. So as far as murder goes, yes, murder is bad. Everybody got that, right? So Jesus said, don't do it. But the problem was the Pharisees and the scribes were talking about murder at a mere physical human level. They were talking about it was the physical act of murder. So you would be liable to the civil law at the time. Just like today, if you murdered somebody, you would go to the civil courts and you'll be seen by a judge and you would be given a punishment based off of what you did. And they left God out of it completely. And I know what you're thinking. Hopefully, nobody in here has killed somebody. I've never killed anybody, so I'm thinking, great, I haven't clubbed somebody to death, so that means I must be clean, right? I haven't performed this crazy act of murdering somebody, so I am now a little bit more righteous than the next person. This is where the fault lies. This is where Jesus is saying to those of old. And he's not. And the important part that I don't want you to miss is I want you to remember that Jesus was talking about the heart. The heart. And God knows your thoughts. He knows what you're thinking. And you can only think now, like, man, I wish that person was dead. There's somebody in my life. I don't even care if they're alive tomorrow. I wish they would get hit by a truck today. And I would be okay with that. But now I'm violating the spirit of the law. The problem with the Pharisees' teaching, they were only talking about the physical act and not the heart at all. God sees the heart. He wants your heart. So here he just started out. Now we move into verse 22 now. And Jesus goes on to talk about anger, how anger could be just as bad as the physical act of murder. So in 22 it says, "But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." Notice the progression of each step. And this is where the nerdiness comes in. I'm going, okay, I've been angry at somebody. When they say angry at his brother, he's talking to a fellow believer in Christ. And I'm thinking, man, if I'm angry with my brother, I'm liable now to that judgment. And so before we get started, let's break down that word of anger. And now there's two Greek words that describe anger, and one is thumos. So thumos is that type of anger, like a quick flare up. So if I take a match and I just strike it up against something, you get that spark and that crazy like fire that happens immediately. And what happens is that fire kind of goes away and eventually it's gone. That's that thumos type anger. That, to give an example, that's sort of like you're driving on the expressway and all of a sudden somebody cuts you off and you honk at them and they say, "You're number one." I'm like, "You're number one too." And you drive. But then I stopped, right? That anger is harsh in the beginning and then it goes away. And I'm not going home going, "Man, that guy told me I was number one. I'm really angry at him." The other Greek word is orge. Now, this is different because this is that fire burning inside. This is that anger that doesn't go away. This is the anger that Jesus was referring to. Not this quick anger of thumos. It was orge. I'm angry at this person. The second I see them, I just have this hatred and anger towards them. And it hasn't gone away yet. That festering inside, it won't go away. God, Jesus is saying here that orge type anger, that you will be liable to civil judgment, the same judgment that you would get with murder, the physical act. He's saying that's how serious it is to be that angry towards a brother in Christ. Some of you may have this anger. Had, hopefully. Some of you, again, around Christmas time, sitting around the table and Uncle Johnny is saying, "Man," and he's still bringing up this story from 20 years ago about how he's been wronged. And that anger, that person may have very well done something horrible to that person. But 20 years later, Jesus wants us to be free of that anger by taking it to him. Now, disclaimer, I'm not talking about anybody in this room. Everybody got that? I'm just trying to make sure that we're understanding what the scriptures are telling us and how we should put these lessons into practice. Now imagine if you are the one who has that anger towards somebody and you actually started praying about that person that you are angry towards. Imagine if you started praying for that bitterness to go away. Imagine if you asked the Lord to take that anger away. How long do you think that you would have that anger towards them? Or are you wanting to hold on to it? Let's continue the verse in verse 22. Let's look at the second one now. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. So again, insults is a pretty big word in here, just like the first part we're talking about angry. So insults, broken that down, the Greek translation for that is raka. And so that means to call someone completely worthless. To call somebody empty-headed. To having, and here's the important part, utter disdain for somebody. It's like telling a fellow believer in Christ that they are completely worthless. So Jesus is saying here that utter disdain for somebody is actually worse than having that orge, that hatred that's inside. And to go even further with this insult, that's that thinking of, you know what, if that person died tomorrow, I wouldn't even care. Jesus is saying that if you feel that way about another brother or sister in Christ, then that person is in danger of standing before the council. And right, just so you know, again, the first part was that anger liable to that civil judgment. Now it's that utter disdain for someone. You're liable to be in front of the council. And you think, what's the council? Well, the Greek translation for that is Synedrion, which English is Sanhedrin. You may have heard that word. And so that was the spiritual council. And at the time that spiritual council was built, were high levels of religious leaders at the time. And they would judge people based off of their spiritual issues, which is different from the civil one. So this continues to the last part of this verse in verse 22. And whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. Now, the Greek word for fool is moros. Can you guess what that is in English? In case you haven't figured that out, it's moron. So you're thinking to yourself, man, I'm in danger of punishment from separation from God. I know what you're thinking. If I call somebody a moron, does that mean I'm going to hell? Because I did that not too long ago, and I'm very sorry about it. But Jesus isn't saying that. Jesus is saying it's not the physical act of just saying the word. It's about the heart, remember? So what Jesus is saying here, when you're calling somebody a fool, that means you're completely degrading somebody. Not only is it you degrading them by calling them words and trying to ruin their character, you're trying to get other people. You are gossiping so horribly about this fellow believer in Christ. And your anger is orge, anger. You have utter disdain. You can care if that person lives or dies. Now it's at the end part. Now you want other people to join in on your anger. And you're trying to force that upon a fellow believer in Christ. And Jesus is saying here, if that's your heart, you are liable to the hell of fire. Your heart is not right. And calling people fools and idiots and morons, and those words are used to break people down. Those words are used when you are angry and you're trying to get back at somebody. They're used on people that you utterly disdain. They're not used to build people up as Christ wants us to do. So what do we do about this? And what we do with our anger is the issue here. So if we let the sun go down in our anger, it remains unresolved. And we're giving the devil an opportunity to cause separation between fellow believers and Christ, which ruins the unity that Christ wants for us. And these last two verses in 23 and 24, they really talk about what the law really intended, going back to the heart, not just the physical acts, the heart. So if you have that burning anger that you just haven't let go, you have that utter disdain for somebody, you're trying to get other people to join in on your anger by gossiping horribly about somebody. What if that person is angry at you now? So what do we do? And so Jesus gives us the answer right here in verse 23 through 24. Jesus says, "So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift." So at this time, if you felt guilt because of a sin that you have done, or multiple sins that you've done, you would travel and you would bring an animal for sacrifice. And this is purely symbolic, because you would bring your animal to the altar where the priests were, and you'd put your hand on that head of the animal that was about to be killed, and you would confess your sins onto that animal. And symbolically, that animal would now have your sins, and they would kill that animal, and now you are clean of that sin because of that confession, because of that sacrifice. Again, symbolic. And Jesus gives this mini parable now to his disciples, and to give the story in context, Jesus is talking to his disciples saying, "Hey, John, Matthew, and Peter, you've traveled 70 miles from Galilee to Jerusalem, you brought your animal, you're up there at the altar, and you're ready to say, 'I'm confessing my sins, I'm about to be clean.' And then you remember, man, somebody has something against me. I've offended somebody. That guilt came to me." You are there, ready to do that. And Jesus is saying, go. Don't offer that animal for sacrifice. Go now. Go back that 70 miles that took you 2 days of travel. Go reconcile with your fellow believer in Christ, your brother or sister in Christ. Once that reconciliation has been done, asking forgiveness, then you travel back, and now you can offer your sacrifice up at the altar to be clean first of that reconciliation. Reconciliation with brothers and sisters in Christ is that important to us. So, how do we know if we've offended somebody? How do you know? And there's a few ways. Some may seem silly, but I'm going to use this room as an example, and y'all are all going to do this at the end of the sermon now, right? So everybody's leaving, and you notice, hey, there's Johnny. Again, I'm not picking anybody, in case your name's Johnny. And I walk up to Johnny, and I say, hey, how's it going? And Johnny looks right in my eye and turns around and walks away. That might be a sign. that might be something telling me, like, I probably need to go. And the way Jesus says is, not go with a whole bunch of people. I need to go individually and go talk to Johnny and say, hey, have I done something that has offended you? Because I may not know what it is. God is putting that on my heart to talk to them right away. Don't let the sun go down to resolve that, to get that reconciliation as God reconciled us. And it could be as simple as, I mean, and that's just me talking to somebody, but I'm nerdy enough to want to go, like, take care of this now, because I don't want that sun to go down. I don't want to forget, and if I've offended somebody, we need to take care of this right away. And sometimes it may have nothing to do with you. Johnny just may have had 10 things on his brain, and he just walked around. And I would have never known. Again, it's our responsibility to confess our fault to somebody. And that doesn't mean that somebody's going to forgive you in that moment. It may feel great to be like, hey, I need to go make amends. I'm sorry. I did not realize I did that. I do not want separation between you and me, a fellow believer in Christ. God put that on my heart. God, and you need to be patient, because God may not have put that on their heart to forgive. And you pray. And you pray for that to happen. Our goal is to seek reconciliation between believers in order to restore unity in Christ. And God continually tries to teach us how a believer seeks restoration in a relationship after sin has occurred. So we are to mimic our Father. And sometimes it can be tough. Some of us shy away from confrontation, and others are great at it. I would hate to be the person that shies away from reconciliation with a brother or sister in Christ if I have offended them. If we don't do that sometimes, I may have caused a separation between us which breaks our unity, and nothing ever happened in the first place. Johnny walks away, I'm thinking something horrible has happened, and instead of talking to him about it, I just don't do anything. And now all of a sudden separation occurs. Sin occurs. I'm thinking bad thoughts about Johnny. I may be talking to other people about him, ruining character. That's not what we want. We take care of this. Go now individually to reconcile. Notice again where Jesus commands us to reconcile with our brothers and sisters in Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained a brother. So how sad would it be, again, just like it says in Matthew chapter 5, that if I never were to speak to that person, I just continued that anger over and over again, and it builds and builds. I don't want to do that. We want to take care of that immediately. That's what Jesus is telling us to do. So for some of you that are thinking, okay, I'm hearing these verses, I'm seeing this, and again, Jesus is talking to his disciples completely about other believers in Christ. What about our non-believers? What does Jesus say about that? So right here in Matthew 22, verses 36-39, says, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And here's the kicker. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So Jesus was talking about our fellow believers in Christ and how important it is to take care of these right away. And later on, Jesus is summing all of this up. He's saying, and I love it, it's very simplistic. Love God, love others. If you're like, what does neighbor mean? Well, neighbor is just, the Greek translation is near or close to. It doesn't say believer, non-believer. It's just who's ever next to you that I have offended or they have offended me. I need to reconcile that right away. That's what Jesus is telling us to do. So everything we have learned applies to believers and unbelievers in Christ. And we're to reconcile just as God has reconciled us. And as believers, the way we treat others is critical, especially for evangelism. People will understand as much of the love of God as we see in our own lives. And I want everybody to pay attention to this part because it's important, especially for evangelism. The first Bible that many people will read will be us and how we live. We are called to mirror the love of God. Now to end this, after studying this passage, this very short passage, which is chock full of amazing teaching from Jesus to his disciples, we should ask ourselves, am I willing to acknowledge the inner attitudes of anger that I have towards other people? Because these can cause serious damaging relationships with God, our fellow believers, and others. Am I willing to seek God's help in overcoming and avoiding this anger in the future? And am I willing to go to radical lengths to be reconciled with a brother or sister I have offended in order to restore the unity of the body of Christ between us? Let's pray.